You know, give me one sec.
Is that the last one?
Yes, I think that is the last one.
Go to the very last chorus after the last verse.
Alright, let me get back here. Yeah, this would be the last one.
You see it?
Yeah. No, no. You can look here. I don't really know how to do that on the screen.
Okay, right. He leaveth me and looks the audio. Which worst? If I click, will it go?
Yep. You can hit this.
Mouse. I have to hit this mouse. Well, where'd he go? Okay, come on.
So
we want to
come down here.
All right, that's a very touchy mouse. We want to come. Yeah, if I can get that mouse to go there.
Alright, I need to get this for you guys.
That's it then.
So that's just that, right?
Yeah, so we're not doing it. Yep.
So that's what we're going to do.
Okay, so no extra features.
Start playing automatically or not.
Carol,
I think
you
can play
when you
fine.
Say you're part of the very beginning of the service.
Yeah. Alright, let's go. Edit.
Okay.
Go up.
So you are
to the right there.
And when
you
hear
yep.
On the
so I click on it and see here. Okay, go to add item.
Thank you.
Reuse item. And then it should pop up. Just put in welcome, see if anything pops up. And just use that slide.
This one right here?
Yeah, that's fine. That one right there. Oh, this is touchscreen. That is touchscreen.
That good?
Yep, that's fine. And then hit file, save and sync. And then that should sync it.
Right.
And then we could be able to go live on the live stream.
I think it was because I don't have it on.
No, it should automatically do it though. That's the bottom though. You need to go at the top. The announcement's
right.
It should automatically.
Thank you. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I still want to get, well, actually, this is already a great start because here you are, we're here to worship God. Can't do anything better than that. And then we get to spend a whole day. It's a beautiful, beautiful sunny day. And I hope you get out and really enjoy this day.
Please stand as we share the reading of the Word. This is taken from Psalm 135, verses 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the
Lord.
Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, you servants of the Lord, you who minister in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of the Lord God. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Sing praises to his name.
I invite you to join together with us as we lift our voices to praise and worship Jesus.
Over the last several weeks of April, I have about 60 individuals. It's been a great time.
time to come together and worship and have devotional prayer time, getting to know new people in the community. Also, celebrating from Blueprints Recovery Home on Cherry Street, also on Walnut Street. So it's been a great time to meet those individuals. And I know they are very appreciative of just being able to come and just being a part of that meal together. So if you would just come on Wednesday nights, just hang out, get to know people. It's a great time for fellowship. It's a great time getting to know people in the community and just being able to be a part of that wonderful time together. In the back, there are some different handouts coming up in June. There's this special event that will be happening here at the church. There's information that is now to the Welcome Center, as well as your visitor for that. We have a follow-up meeting on it. If you want to sort of things, I'll be speaking to that event in the next week or two. So if you have information, we'll just take that flyer, mark it on your calendar for what we call the Stewardship Life event. So please make sure you mark that on your calendar and you're here for that in June also. Just another reminder is that as we continue forward and we go into the summertime, and that you might see people that are not here, just reach out to them. Let them know you miss a vacation sometime. Sometimes people are sick and doing illnesses. So if you want to reach out to them and just let them know they are missed. So at this time, let us go to God in prayer and let's just see God's face this morning. Lord, we come before you now and we thank you and praise you for who you are, for what you're doing. And we pray, God, that you would just continue to be in the house of worship, be in your house this morning, Lord. As you open our hearts and our minds and our eyes, that we might see you this morning. And so, God, as we come before you, we give you thanks and praise for everything. In your name we pray. Amen. For this song, I'm going to ask that they remain seated as we pour the offering while you're singing. And then they can stand up and join us together. So Cody, if you would come forward at this time, and we'll be collecting our morning offering.
Thank you. Preschool at some point accept Jesus as their personal Savior.
It's exciting to hear what that's doing all over the world, not just here in Colombia, but Romania, especially with different things that are going on in Ukraine and stuff, how God is still at work in the midst of everything we see on the news, that God's hand is upon us. I'm going to try this again to see if this will work this time. Hopefully, we won't have any issues.
Hopefully, everybody can hear me, though, for have issues.
Started and we won several games and we were doing well. We were top of our division, and I hadn't seen him play until I was behind the seniors on the bench, and I was getting a little frustrated. I'm like, here I am, I'm putting all this time, energy, and effort into practicing, and I'm not getting any playing time. This doesn't just seem fair to me. It doesn't seem fair that I'm giving as much as everybody else is, and I'm contributing as much as everybody else is, but I'm not seeing the results that I think I should see, that I'm seeing behind these seniors that are playing. Now, if you know anything, you always know that the seniors get the starting lineups, are some underclassmen that play very few at times, and so you go the next year and stick with it, then you will be the senior that will be getting the starting position, and that's what the coach is looking for, to see whether you're going to stick with it. Well, I got tired of it, I said it's not worth it, and I just said, whatever, and I quit the varsity side of the team. I said, I don't want to do it anymore, it's not worth it, it's not worth the time, the energy, it's not worth the effort. Just to sit on the bench and say, am I ever going to see the fruit of my labor? Am I ever going to touch the ball once this season? And the coach kept saying, you know, well, we're all important, even those that aren't playing. You're important. We're all together in this, no matter what happens. You're all important. You all play a role. And I'm like, sure I am. I'm playing a role by warming the bench or getting Gatorade or water to those that are coming out of the game. Yeah, I'm playing my part all right, but I'm doing the same exact role as everybody else. So when am I actually going to see the fruit of my labor? So I quit. So it's not worth it. You know what happened? I went back down to the JV team. Guess what? I got lots of playing time in the JV team. But I wasn't happy. And people would walk up to me like, oh yeah, I remember I was the first thing you can quit. How's that going?
Card and it suits you and says, oh, by the way, now that it can benefit me, I would like
energy, the commitment. You only call upon the church when it suits you or when the church can benefit you. And I think so many times when we look at the church universal, when we look at our own church, that story of me playing soccer is very true when it comes to commitment levels at times. That we'll say, I'm all in. We'll take the membership out. We'll say, I'm all in, God. Wherever you go, I will go, God. Wherever you need me, I will go. I'm all in. And then our commitment level grows to 100% on that first day of practice. It begins to dwindle down to 75%, 60%, 50%. The final thing gets down to 0%. And you just say, you know what? Why are you living on? There are other things that can take up my time, other things that are more important. So why don't I give to them? Because I can actually see the fruit of the labor of those. I can actually see what's going on though. So you know what? Church and my relationship with God, now I'm not really all in. You see, we cannot help each other as a team. We cannot encourage each other spiritualize. We cannot grow as a church if we're not all in. Some of you might be saying, Pastor, you're reaching the choir. You know that I'm serving. You know I'm involved. I understand that. I'm very thankful for those of you that are in and giving your time and your energy and doubling up on things to make sure things are done. I appreciate that. But I know that there are people that are not here this morning that we all need to reach out to and say, are you all in or are you not all in? All or nothing. But there are people that say they are members of this church, but we don't see them on maybe Christmas and Easter. There are members of this church who say, oh yeah, that's my church, what a great thing. Yeah, I'm a member of there, but yet we never see them because they're not all in. So for those who are serving, I'm very grateful for you being involved. But there are those of us that are not all in. There are those of us, when other things come up at times, other commitments, we put them first before your relationship. That is why we're seeing the church decline across America. Because we'll say we're Christians, but yet when it comes to being all in our nation, we don't see people Sunday mornings or during the week or whatever it might be, because this is the fact that I'm a Christian and something like, hey, I'm on the varsity soccer team. You kind of want the acknowledgement of it, but don't want to put the work in. And that's where we find that Satan hinders the church because Satan says, I've got you where I want you. I've come to steal, to hinder you. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan is working in the church to do that, to deceive us, to say, you know what? Look at what we're doing. But the question that we have to ask ourselves is, where is God? John 10:10 goes on to say, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. That Jesus came so we can have abundant life and have eternal life, full life, being directed by the Holy Spirit, going all in for Him, not just when it benefits us, not just when we feel like it, but being all in 100% of the time, even when we're sitting on a bench and we're going, well, I don't see any results. I don't understand what's going on. Being all in means fully committed. When we look this morning, I think there are three things that we can look from Jesus here in Matthew chapter 16 that I think are important to all of us. So this morning, let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. Well, that sounds like a very deep thing that he's asking us here. That whoever wants to be his disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross and follow me. What does that mean to take up our cross and follow him? We don't have a little cross like Jesus did. But what does it mean? Well, I think when we look at this, when we look at this simple command that he gives us, that he's saying for us today, denying ourselves, that we need to give up everything of ourselves and be fully committed to him, every single aspect of our life. The question is, are we going to deny ourselves fully for God, or just a little bit for God? Because this means. In the Old Testament, God would speak to individuals. And one of the individuals that he had a great relationship with and spoke to was King David. David was a man after God's own heart. David sought God in everything he did. David wanted to make sure that he was doing the things that God wanted to do. Sure, he made some mistakes. Sure, he wasn't perfect. But when he made those mistakes, he wasn't perfect. He owned up to them, asked for forgiveness, and got back on the right track with God. And we find here that David wrote the psalm, which is full of so much wisdom, and he cries out to God for direction. So we're going to look at Psalm 139 this morning, verses 23 and 24. And I think this applies very well to Matthew 16 when it says, deny yourself. How do you deny yourself? By a Psalm 139. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is anything offensive in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David says first, search my heart, God. God, I don't want to do anything if you're not well done. So search my heart. Search me. Make sure my words are right. Make sure that what I'm doing is right. Search my heart, oh God. Looking introspectively. Before anything else is done, say, God, are you in this? And if you're not in this, why are you not in this? Where have you gone, God, if you're not in this? So God, search me directly, give me wisdom. Let me know what you want to do in my life and how I can join you there. Taking an inward glance at our life. Where is life heading me? Where is it taking me? What are my priorities? Where is the church going? What's the future of the church look like? What's the priority of my life? What's the number one thing that gets my attention and focus? How can I join God when he's working, and how can I help the church grow, and how can I make an impact with those who don't know Jesus? Where can I serve? Those are questions that David was asking. Search me and know me, God. Tell me how I can make myself available to your will, revealing the things. But so many times we leave God out of the process. So many times we call on God and we want something or we need him. And we say, okay, God, I'm going to put this up so I can give you. Hey, God, you can do this for me. When that happens, I'll bring it up to the next time that I got to come and bring you together. That we don't spend time seeking God and say, God, what are you doing? We don't spend time in prayer with God each and every day. And that is the biggest problem of the church in North America, is that we come on one day of the week for an hour and then we go. We don't spend any other time in prayer during the week and say, God, where do you want me to be at? God, I'm praying for my church. I'm praying your will be done in my church. I'm praying you do a miracle in my church. I'm praying you provide for my church. I'm praying that you'll take care of the needs of my church. And I'm praying that somehow our church can touch those individuals who don't know you. But we leave the house of worship on Sunday morning. We don't spend time doing that. We sit down and we spend time looking at the black and white as far as the paper and say, well, here's the facts, here's the figures. And we begin to crack our brains about how to fix those problems, but we never say, okay, God, I'm going to go and take this to prayer. I'm going to go and commit this to you, God, because, God, if this problem can be solved, it's not going to be by us sitting around a table discussing it. It can be by your intervention, by you getting a hold of things, by you doing a supernatural thing to me, to this church, that you might be glorified as we turn things around. You see, this afternoon we're going to have a congregational meeting, and I'm going to share with you some of what's going on in the church, some of our struggles, but just me sharing that is not going to change anything. We all need to be in prayer. We need to ask God to do an amazing thing, an amazing work in our lives. We need to be all in. We need to deny ourselves. We need to say, God, it's about you. It's not about me. So many times we sit back and say, well, God's in the process of things. God's here. Well, we say, well, is he really? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 2 this morning. The Israelites have to bow. They got comfortable. They got comfortable with things. And so in Jeremiah, we find that they thought they could kind of continue to do things the way they'd always done without having to seek God's face or his presence. And Lord who brought us out of Egypt and led us in the barren wilderness. The priests, the pastors of that day, did not ask, where is the Lord? Where is the Lord? They didn't ask that question. They thought they could do everything themselves. They thought they could figure everything else. So God is saying, where are you? And as a pastor, that's so many times you struggle because we say, God, where are you, Lord? And yet you're still trying to see things the way they've been. You say, God, where are you, Lord? And God says, I'm still there. Just be patient. Trust me. It's hard to do at times. Pastors, the priests did not ask, where is the Lord? Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11 through 19. This is God who has said, my people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water. I've done their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. God's saying here, they've committed two sins in Jeremiah. You have forsaken me. I'm the one who gave you life. I'm the one who provides for you. I'm the one who takes care of you. But you've forsaken me, forgot about me. That's your first sin you've done against me. As you feel you don't need me, but only when it suits you. And then you dug your own cisterns. Now, if you know what a cistern is, it's something that holds water. And in the Old Testament days, they would dig a trench in the ground, and that way it would hold water, and they would go get that water out. Broken cistern doesn't hold water. It means the water you're putting in is leaking out. And it says you have broken cisterns that hold no water. Because you're not seeking me. You're not looking for guidance from me. You think you're doing it yourself, so you're filling it up with water that's not being held because it's not called living water. We find here that they weren't doing a lot of introspection back then. They weren't asking those questions about, are we all in? Where is God? What's God doing? They didn't ask any more questions. No. The leadership, those involved, that time in the Old Testament, tried to figure things out for themselves. They were God. So God, the living water, and they made their own systems. Folks, if we look at the church today, we're making the church what we want it to be, folks. We have broken systems. We have broken systems here in this church. Where church is something that is no longer a priority, it's a convenience. It's something where, hey, you know what? There's two parts more important than what the church is trying to do. Hey, going to this is more important than this is not. Whatever it might be, that church is an afterthought. We have broken systems. Because we have put other things before God and make other things a priority like and say, well, church is either against me or, you know what? Church is always going to be there no matter what, so it doesn't really matter. And we have made broken systems. That we're pouring water in, we're saying, God, fill me, guide me in the water of the living God. It's broken those broken cisterns because we have made other things a priority. Why is it that the church in North America is dying? Because we have broken cisterns. Because we have built our own cisterns. We are going to build those cisterns for what we think is important and what our priorities are. That we have not made God a priority. We have not sought after God. And we have said, God, we don't need you. We're good. We'll figure things out ourselves. Thank you for all you're doing. Look at all the great things we're doing. We're doing this all for you, God. And God says, where am I? Where am I? You got a broken cistern. There are so many times we don't realize we have a broken cistern. And that broken cistern can easily be fixed by us stopping, turning to God, spending time in prayer with God, and seeking God's face first and foremost. Not just on our lives and our daily struggles, but on every aspect of the things that occur. Whether it's our church, our world, our community, wherever it may be, lifting those things up to God. You know, it's interesting because when we look at our challenges that we face as a church at times, we have to ask ourselves, okay, God, we have a broken system. Or we need to build a little more. David, in Psalms, would have been really pointless for him just to say, okay, I want to make my own decisions. Look at Holy Spirit to mold us and shape us in God's image. John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears and will show you what's to come. God wants to lead us in truth. What is worship? Worship is coming to God and worshiping him in spirit and truth. Worship means we come to God with our spirit and we look to God for truth. That's what worship is. If God says, you come to me and you worship me in spirit and truth, I will reveal it to you. God says you need to be introspective. I need to be introspective. And I need to take a look at my life. And say, hey God, who are you doing? Where are you at? Where are the times that I've come to your sight? I am guilty of it too, folks. I don't want you to think about me here going, boy, you guys are all horrible people, because you're not, because I'm guilty of doing the same thing. I'm guilty of times having God on the sideline and having broken systems in my own life and say, okay, well, what's going on in my life? Only to realize I let God out of this. Because we as pastors, we too, we're human. We make mistakes in our personal life. So many times it's easy to get caught up with different things that we don't have a sister to be filled with living water, but a sister that's broken. Because we all get caught up with things. We all neglect our relationship with God. And we all don't make prayer a priority. Only in crisis mode. I come and tell you that because we all struggle. Right now, I want you guys to take your hands up and look up. This is the participation part of sermon. Now, I want you to make a fist. Can we make a fist? Okay? Now, when you're making a fist, this is totally tight. Like you're kind of like hard, hard making a fist. Now, I want you to slowly open the fist and just have it open hand. What feels better? The open hand or the closed fist? The open hand does. But so many times in our lives, we live with a closed fist. Drew Geisen, he was a pastor I've known since 1996 when I was in school, college, and graduating, and going this very day, and he's going to be one of my mentors, and he has been a pastor for years now, and he works in stewardship, and you guys get to meet him in June when he comes. Bell and I sat down and we met with him as we were going over some different things in our lives, and we sat down and kind of looked at, you know, our budget and things, and you know, Drew was talking to us and sharing with us, and he said, you know, Malachi tells us that God wants to open a storehouse up, that he wants to give us blessings. He says, how are you guys living your life? Are you living it with a clenched fist or an open hand? We've got to look down here. What do you mean exactly? He's like, are you holding on to everything? Are you holding on to your money? Are you holding on to your time? Are you holding on to your gifts? Are you holding on to things so tightly that the only thing that God gets is what pours out from your knuckles, from your hands. The things that no longer can fit in that closed fist, the things that kind of escape through your fingers, is that all you're giving God, or are you living with open hand and giving God your time, your gifts, your talent, your service? Are you all in? Are you giving God title money? Are you serving God with a good attitude, a good heart, knowing that it's time for church, there's going to be trial and tribulation and frustration? Are you going to let those frustrations continue to get to you, and so you only give God what you're through? Or you say, God, I have open hand. No matter what, it's all yours. No matter what happens, it's all yours. My kids are yours. My wife is yours. My money is yours. My home is yours. Everything is yours. And I'm not going to no longer have a closed fist. I'm no longer going to try to hold on to things, but I'm going to let go and give it to you. It's amazing what happens when you see, God doesn't want us to have a closed fist. He wants us to have open hands. Have you seen people worship? When people raise their hands, have you seen people worshiping like this? Yes, God, have a closed fist. No, why? Because they open their hands up and they'll worship you. You say, God, I am open to what you have for me. I am open to your spirit filling me. I am open to what you want to do in my life, God. My hands are open. It's a sign of saying everything we have is open. We don't sit here on Sunday mornings and go, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I'm still going to hold on to things, Lord. You can't sing that song, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, with a closed fist. You have to have an open hand. And that's what God has called us to do as Christians, disciples of Christ, is to stop living like this. is in every area of our life. It's really hard for us though, to say we do everything sometimes. Like when we have a homelessness, it's really easy for us to say, well, I can't. I'm sorry. Because I already have everything I can hold on my list. I can't fit anything in for my list. So it's really easy for us to say no to our design, our talents, our gifts, our service, because we can't fit anything else in. But when we're like this, well, let me seek God, let me ask God where He wants me to live my life. Because maybe I have time to fit that in, because guess what? My hand is open. It's no longer closed, and I have something left over my life. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. This is a very common passage. As Jesus was starting on his way, a man ran up behind him and fell down his knees and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to enter eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You know not murder. You know you cannot adultery. You know you should not steal. You should not give false witness or testimony. You should not fraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher, I have done every single one of these things since I was a boy." First of all, I think you already lied there. But Jesus looked at him and loved him. The one thing he lacked: go and sell everything you have and give the poor, and you have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. The man fell on his face, and he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Why do you go away sad? "I don't want to give up anything. I like what I have. It's too hard. I don't want to open my fist up. So no, I'm going to go away sad, because I can't follow you, and I can't keep my fist closed, God." It's all nothing. What a powerful statement. Open your hand, rich man, and then you will see what I can do for you. And he wasn't talking just about possessions for rich men. He was saying, change your way of doing life. Change your heart. Change your direction. "I don't want to do that. I like my life the way it is. I don't want to have to change anything. So I'm going to continue to live like this." And he said, "Well, fine. You can't follow me because you got to live like this." I wonder this morning, what is it that's hindering us from living like this in God's presence? That we need to not look back on things. We not look on the past. So many times we're back on our past. Stop looking back on the past. Stop looking back on the things that we did, we should have done, could have done, whatever. It's time we can start right now. It's a game changer for us. That we can begin today living with open hands. Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Guess what, folks? Why did she become a pillar of salt? Because I don't want to leave behind all that good stuff that's inside of your world. Yeah, there was a lot of bad stuff there. You know, but you know, who cares? I liked my life over there. It was good. It was comfortable. It was nice. And all of a sudden, she looks back and she turns to a pillar of salt because God said, "Don't look back." So many times we look back and we say, "But I like my life. It's comfortable. I don't want to have to be uncomfortable. I don't want to change how my life is." And we look back and we wonder why things are the way they are, because God says it's not about being comfortable, it's about being uncomfortable. The original Hebrew word actually means regarding something of favor or pleasure or care. It says, look back. That she looked back regarding some of the world, pleasure, favor, instead of saying, "God, I want to follow you and seek you and your pleasure and your dear God, I'd rather have this one here than follow you." So God points something out to us. We need to trust in me, we need to be mine. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13. "Brothers and sisters, I don't concern myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do is forgetting what is behind me and straining toward what is ahead. I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." That Paul could have said, "I can look back on the previous way I did things. I was living persecuted Christians. I can let that hinder me before I can look ahead to what God has assured me and say, okay, God, come to me and try me, that you might make peace. What's holding his back? There was a college student, and he was very frustrated, very angry, especially God. And so he decided to go to the chapel one day. He went to the chapel, and he was angry at that. He was worried God. He was having out with God. He was pounding on the truth as loud as he could. He said, God, life is so messed up. My life is so messed up. God, there's so many things in the world that's wrong. God, why don't you fix them, God? Why don't you take care of them? God, you know what? This is just crazy, because no matter how hard I try, it doesn't matter. Nothing ever gets fixed. No matter how hard I try, nothing ever changes. So, God, what is your problem, God? I can make an even better world than what you made, God. He stopped and had to see. He's looking up to the cross that was tarnished. Son of the end of the state last time ago, he heard a still small voice and said to him, well, that's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to go and make the world better. Stop focusing on the challenges. Stop focusing on all the bad things in life and be 100% all in. Go do it, he said to the college student. The college student didn't know what. As we close our time together, I think we have to ask ourselves some questions. The first question is, where is God? Where is God? We have to focus on this. Are we seeking God in prayer every single day? Do we have a closed fist or an open hand? And finally, are we 100% all in? Fully committed. Those are questions that I have challenged myself with each and every day in church. Those are questions that I just wrote for you as well as the questions that folks have been about in my life at Bachelor's Church. Because those are questions that will determine where we go, what our future holds, the direction of our relationship. We're either all in or we're not. And this morning we can look around and we can see that are not here. You know what they want? It's time we reach out to them. It's time we challenge them. It's time we say, hey, you know what? We miss you. What's going on, Byron True Church? It's time that we stop being comfortable. And it's time we start being comfortable. And we start reaching out to those who are here. As a pastor, I can make those phone calls. I can send all letters in the world I want to, but guess what? Coming from you, the body of Christ, has more of a significance than will ever come from me. Because of the fact that you are the people. People look at you like, oh, that's just the pastor who's making this call. The pastor's supposed to do that. That's just what he has to do because he's been called to do that by church counsel. But coming from you, it carries so much more weight. Because people look at you as equals. Today, we have one of these sisters who are in your will so that we can have strength and water. That's right. God, we come before you now. We give you thanks for people who are in your will. We pray, God, that each and every one of us would look to you and seek your presence and ask God, where are you in my life? Am I all in or am I no good? God, denying ourselves and taking up the cross means it's all or nothing. Not just a little bit. So before you now, we ask that you do something. It's not going to be easy to be all in. There's going to be times you're quick. Walk away. Every time we throw the towel, every time we're frustrated, we say, what's the purpose? Why? How come? We're going to question that. But that's the thing, it's a battle with God's, not ours. God has called us to be disciples. God has called us to go and share the good news with others, being totally committed to Him and His cause. And He will take care of us. There are going to be challenges, through the obstacles. We're talking about the congregational meeting. The battle still belongs to God. And that's where praying and seeking God's face is essential. Because we can't win the battle. Only God. Would you stand with us as we go now and we sing our closing song together?
You will have to fight these battles.
It's yours. The battle, it belongs to you. It's time that churches across our nation, it's time that churches are to be, it's time that all of us get back to saying, God, I'm here because of you. It's time that we stop having broken systems and that we allow God to hold us. And the grace and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit go with you as you leave this place today. May the peace of God go with you. Amen. And time elements to make sure everybody is using their time watching this as well. For those that do leave, you may go ahead and honor you to begin the transition of the congregational meeting. For those that want to stay in the congregational meeting this morning, that way we can use our time wisely. And for those that need to go ahead and go. Thank you all for coming. Have a blessed week. We'll see you next time.